came to our recovery home. So he's a graduate of our very own Victory Homes. Amen. Praise God. He's out of Milwaukee. He's here from the very own city of Milwaukee. And it gives me a great privilege because one time it was a prayer night. It was a prayer service. And my pastor said, hey, Felipe, he says, come on, we're going to go pray for somebody. So I said, amen, let's do it, Pastor. And it was a tight schedule. We went, and I'm never going to forget this day. It's tattooed in my mind. It's ingrained in my mind. I believe I can say before the Lord, I'm a man of faith. I can say I have, at times, great faith. Before God, I've seen a lot of great things. So we went to this young man's house. Their family was there, and the family was saying, Pastor, we need you to pray for this man. He's lost and bound. He was given to heroin addiction, in and out the streets. So I've seen many people. I had an opportunity to run our recovery homes. I was a director then. I seen many people come in and out. I seen people delivered. I seen people stuck in heroin addiction for years. And I seen the hand of God touch that individual and deliver people. But when I went to this house and I seen this person, I seen this individual, my faith got tested. And I began to say, wow, you know, I'm not even sure about this one right here. And I seen many cases. And I remember Pastor sharing his testimony. I remember Pastor giving every angle. And I'm close to Pastor. I know where he was going, the angle he was taking, the Bible study he had coming next. And I remember thinking, I'm just going to move my mindset to the side. I'm going to move my faith to the side. Because there's too, right, what I'm looking at, there's way too much doubt for this person to make it. And mind you, I was running the homes for a while now, seeing many people be delivered. So I said, I'm just going to place my faith and jump into my pastor's faith. Whatever he believes, whatever he says goes. And so my pastor gave his testimony, gave him the breakdown, everything, years in and out of prison. And I remember saying, okay, God, don't look at me. You know, I'm just believing by faith with my pastor right now. So see this man delivered. Years and the family, and he'll probably share more, but the family was saying, we're tired. We don't know what to do. We don't trust him. We don't want him here. And you can relate to that one. And I remember saying, wow. You know, that's it. My faith is gone. And I've seen many cases, and my pastor kept pressing in. How many are grateful for our pastor, men of God that believe? Praise the Lord. And so I believe what snagged him at the end was at that time we had one of his friends in our recovery home. And he said, hey, brother so-and-so is here in our home. And that's the only thing that gave him light. And he said, whoa, he's there? That's the only thing. So what you're doing matters. Your life matters to someone else. And so because of that, it kind of opened the door. We prayed for this man. And I remember he was skinny. He's not skinny now. He probably put on a couple of weight. Amen. And God has done a great work in his life. He's been married now for a few years. He's got a beautiful son. He named his son Zeal because he wants zeal for the Lord. So I know he's a man of God. He's got another beautiful baby on the way. So here this morning, help me introduce Brother Lalo Alvarez. Let's put our hands together as he makes his way up here this morning.
Amen. Praise God. Come on, give the Lord some praise today. Today is a good day. We glorify you, God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen. Well, first of all, I got to thank God for my salvation. Because if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy upon my life, I would not be here today. I'm so thankful. Like he said, I went to the men's home. Come on, somebody. Couple directors and chop me up. Come on, somebody, right? Hey, but I learned how to be a man. Not only a man, but a man of God, right? And today, I just want to, let's just, right there where you're at, before I keep going, I want to, let's get into some worship. Can we sing that song one more time? Right there where you're at, just let go. Give it to God. Whatever you came in today with, give it all to Jesus. He is worthy.
Jesus,
hallelujah. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, Father.
We love your name.
We worship you in this place, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Oh, you are worthy, God.
We love your name, Jesus.
strength in their lives, Father. Hallelujah. I give it all to you, Jesus. Yes, God.
We love the fragrance of your holy name.
Save me, God. You changed me, Father. Hallelujah. Come on, right there where you're at. Give the Lord some praise. Give him glory. He deserves it. He's a deserving God. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, somebody. Thank you, worship team. It's beautiful. Give it up for the worship team. Hey, this guy's on fire right there, man. Woo, come on. Amen. You guys may be seated real quick. Amen. I just got to thank God. Come on. How many know we serve a great and glorious God? Man, I serve a great God. There's nothing like his love. I always say it. I'm always say it. It will always be on the tip of my tongue. There's nothing like the love of God, right? I wanna thank our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, amen, for this powerful, the greatest ministry in the world. Come on. We've been reaching the inner cities of the world. We go into the highways, the byways. We go into the alleys. Come on, somebody. That's where they found me. Hello, somebody. Right? Come on now. I just want to thank them for their faithfulness. Right? I want to thank them for their faithfulness, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here today. And I also want to thank my senior pastor, Pastor Henry and Sister Angela right there. And we bring greetings from Salinas. Come on, somebody. We bring greetings. Amen. I want to thank them for their faithfulness and imparting into me. Every day they get at me. Come on, somebody. Hey, but I got to grow, man. I got to grow. I want to grow, God. I want to grow, God, right? So I want to thank them. And also, I want to thank Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. Come on. When he was talking about that day he came and I was inside my grandma's house. Come on, somebody, right? My grandma woke me up. She's like, Lalo, somebody's here to see you. I'm like, okay, I'm all asleep in my eyes. You know, I was dope sick. Come on, somebody. I'll be real. Can I be real today? Can I be real 100? Amen. See, I was dope sick, and grandma's like, somebody's here to see you. And it was Pastor Charlie and Pastor Felipe. I'm like, man, I ain't trying to see these dudes, man. What's going on, man? I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go into the bathroom real quick, and I'll come do your thing, man. Just come talk to me. And they prayed for me. And I kept it real. I didn't want to go in a home at the time, but those seeds been planted. How many know those seeds been planted? Come on, somebody. So I want to thank you for that day. And I want to thank you for this privilege to be here behind this pulpit and trusting me. I don't take it lightly. This is serious. I take it very serious, because I was lost. I was hurting. I was messed up. But today I'm free. Today I'm free. I can see. I know where I'm going. I think about, and I always say this. This is my, hey, I think about where I was at, and I think about where I'm at now. But most importantly, I think about where I'm going and where I'm headed. I know I'm headed in the right direction. If I keep on following Jesus, he would never lead me astray. He would never lead you astray, right? So I want to thank you for this privilege, amen? And I want to thank all you guys. Milwaukee, come on, somebody. Hey, how many know this is my Egypt? I'm living in the promised land. Come on, somebody. Pastor Charlie told me that. He said, hey, I'm living in the promised land over there, man. Come on, somebody, right? Right? This is my Egypt. You know, I was running amok, hurting my family, you know, doing whatever it took, man, to get that next fix. So it amazes me to see, like, where I've come from and where I'm at now. I got my family here, and I see a lot of people, man, and I'm amazed at what God can do, you know? But let's get into the word. Amen. Why don't we stand? And we're going to be reading out of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, And we're going to go all the way down to the last verse, and it's verse 35. And I'm going to begin reading. It says, "And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul." How many know that some people mourned for me when I was running, when I was out there running amok? They were mourning for me, right? They wanted change. They wanted me to change, but I just couldn't see it quite yet. And it says, "Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had ever made Saul king over Israel." Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today, this morning, God, and I thank you for this beautiful opportunity, God, and just to share your word, God, to your people, God. I pray, God, that every heart will be open, God. I pray, Lord, that every ear will be open, God. I pray, God, that people will not leave the same, but they will leave, God, stirred up, God. They will leave on fire, God, and they will leave wanting to seek you, God, more, Father God, with the touch from your hand, Father God. So I pray right now, all over the space, just have your way. In Jesus' name. Come on, so you guys may be seated. Amen. And I titled this message today, Obediencia. I can speak Spanish now. Come on, somebody. The twins, I'm here for the twins, man. My twins, I love you guys. And they're here supporting me. You know, I came here to support them, Tina and Olga. You know, I'm here for you guys. And I just want to thank you guys for being here. Amen. But I titled this message, Obediencia. Obedience. Right? To obey. Come on, somebody. How many know that word obey? That's a big word. Right? That's a big word. I always think, man, that's a big word. It takes a lot of commitment. Right? It takes a lot of yearning God, wanting God to obey. Right? And we're going to jump all the way back up to verse number one. Same chapter and verse number one. And I'm going to do quite a bit of reading, all right? It says right here in verse 1, "Samuel also said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over Israel.'" No, king over his people, over Israel. And real quick, Samuel was the prophet. Pretty much, Samuel was pretty much the pastor. Right? Samuel pretty much was the director. Come on, somebody. Samuel pretty much was, you know, the leader, right? "So Samuel also said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have.'" And I'm going to stop right there. "Utterly destroy all that they have." Now, mind you, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. The word of the Lord didn't come to Saul. He went straight to the pastor. Come on, somebody, right? The word of the Lord came through the leader. Sometimes God don't speak directly to us. He won't speak directly to you. But it came through Samuel, and he says, "Go and utterly destroy all that the Amalekites have," right? Utterly destroy. That word utterly is with no hesitation, right? No reservation to completely. I'm talking about everything, right? That's what the word utterly means. And he says, "Utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Come on, God wasn't playing. My mouth's getting a little dry. Come on, somebody. Amen. But he says to kill the nursing child, ox and sheep. He said kill the babies, the dog, the cat. Everybody, right? He said, everybody, I want everything to be wiped out for what they've done to Israel, what they've done to my people. And verse 4, so it says, "Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah." And verse 5, "And Saul came to a city in Amalek and lay in wait in the valley." lay and wait in the valley. How many know that the valley is low? The valley is in the valley. Come on, somebody, right? It's low. It's a deep place and it's dark. Come on. But see, he lay and wait. And I'm going to tell you like this. Sometimes we got to wait on God. Hey, praying is the easy part, right? Waiting on God is the hard part. Waiting on God is the hard part. Man, God, I be praying, Father God, move, God. And he's like, no, not yet. You know what I mean? You gotta wait. Like, when I was in first phase, come on, I was in the home. Come on, somebody, right? I'm going to share a story. I used to be like, man, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to leave. I thought I was going to be in the home for like, you know, my mind 16 months, first phase, right? I feel like I wasn't ready. But then one day, Pastor Henry came up to me. He's like, hey, Pastor Henry and my director at the time, Brother Daniel, he's back there, right? And he was like, hey, you're going to second phase tomorrow. I'm like, what? I'm not ready. I don't want to go. I was scared. Come on, somebody, right? I was scared, and I'm like, man, I'm not ready. But God said, no, you're ready. You're ready. And there's times when we say I'm ready, and he's like, no, you're not ready. Wait. Right? But we see here that, and I always say this. I say, look, I'd rather wait on God, right, and watch things fall into place than to rush and watch things fall apart. I always say that. Hey, I'd rather wait on God because we rush some things. We can mess some things up. Amen? Some of you guys are probably rushing here. Come on, somebody. Right? Amen. Well, he says right here, he says, lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go depart down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you have showed kindness to all the children of Israel, and when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way up to Shur, which is east of Egypt. In verse 8, he also took Agag. Now listen to this. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And what did God tell him in the beginning? He told him, hey, I want you to kill everything. He says, he took the Amalekites, King Agag, the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But verse 9, come on, somebody. But Saul and the people... Notice how I say this, because I'm going to keep going, and you're going to see why I say that. It says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good. Come on, somebody. He says, all that was good and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. And I think about that today. Today in my life, God told me, hey, you got to let go of some stuff. I had to leave my surroundings. I had to get away and fall under leadership. I wanted change in my life. I didn't want to be the same no more. I don't know about you today, but I still don't want to be the same. I still want change. I still want growth, right? And God spoke to them, and he says, hey, go and utterly destroy everything. I don't want nothing. But we see here that Saul, he kept the king. And not only did he keep the king, he kept everything that was good to him. Everything that was good to him, but everything that he despised and was worthless, he threw it away. He killed it. And today, somebody, hey, God is saying, you know what? You need to get rid of that phone number in your phone. Come on, somebody. I'm just saying, can I be real today? God is saying, let go of the things. Let go of everything so he can give you a new slate. Let go of everything that will try to entangle you. Today, I'm not the same person. I'm new. I'm a new creation. And I praise God, but I had to let go of everything. I couldn't. It took a little bit. Come on, somebody. A little chipping away. Come on, right? In the home. Come on, somebody. I see a few guys in the home. Come on now. Keep pushing. Keep fighting. Man, press forward. Don't let nothing get in the way. The only thing that can get in the way is you. Right? But I had to let go of everything. Let go of smoking. That was probably the hardest thing for me to quit doing. smoking cigarettes. And I was a hardcore heroin addict since I was 16 years old. You know, and smoking cigarettes was probably the hardest thing for me to stop. Come on now. Yeah, that little thing, man, got you. It got me. Man, hey, I get in trouble at the home. Raul was my director at the time. Man, I was staff. Just saying, where the staff at? I know all the moves, man. Hey, I was staff, man. I was still smoking. And he caught me. He says, hey, you know, what's going on with you? And I'm like, man, you know, it was hard. And I was telling him, he was like, look, you're still going to be my staff. Because you know what? When David, when he cheated and when he committed adultery, when David committed murder, God didn't take his anointing away. God didn't take his calling away. And I was like, amen. But that right there, ever since then, I never smoked another cigarette again. Ever since then. But I'm trying to tell you guys to let go of some things. How many people got to let go of some stuff today? Hey, how many people got to obey what God is saying? In verse 10. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Again, it's coming to Samuel, right? Notice how it's coming to Samuel. The word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to give it to you how I got it, right? I don't want God to regret anything. I don't want God to regret what he's done in my life. I don't want God to regret I ever put that guy upon that pulpit. Because it's all God. I didn't ask to be up here. This is not what I want to do. But God said it, and I'm just being obedient to the calling. Because I know there's so much more ahead. I know that God has a plan for my life. I know that there's people out there hurting. I don't just preach because it's cool or there's something to do. I preach the word of God because I know that there's people out there lost. Out there lost like I was. I was stuck, man. And I think about it today, I got the joy. Come on. I got the joy. I walk in authority. I walk in victory. I walk in power. And God wants you to walk in his grace and his mercy this morning. Amen? I don't want God to regret what he's done in my life. That's why I got to continue to obey the words of the Lord, whether it's through my pastor. You know what I do when I come to Milwaukee? I always call Pastor Charlie before I leave. Come on, somebody. I set myself up for I need to be accountable. I said, hey, be accountable to your pastor. Back up Pastor Charlie. I always call Pastor Charlie. Pastor Charlie, hey, I'm coming. I'm coming in town. I'm doing this, blah, 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 right? Whatever it is. And then when I get here, hey, I just got here. Just so you know, I just touched down, boom, boom, boom. I keep myself accountable. Same thing with my pastor, Pastor Henry. Hey, Pastor, I'm going to Milwaukee, so you don't. I'm going to be here. And I call him when I get there. Every step of the way. Every step of the way, I keep myself aligned because the devil is crafty, and he wants to catch me slipping. He wants to catch you slipping. Amen? So I fall, and I just be obedient to what God is showing me. God wants us to be obedient this morning. Verse 11, I have greatly regret that I set up Saul as king, for he has turned his back from following me. I've seen a lot of guys turn their back from following God. Good men and women in the home, man. I've seen a lot. I'm running the home right now. Man, I got 8 guys. God's moving. But I see good men that have potential. That are lost and they're doing good. And next thing you know, they just throw in the towel and say, forget it all. And they turn away from the calling. But how many know that the calling of God is irrevocable? Hey, the calling on your life is irrevocable. You can't run from God. Come on, somebody. We know what happened to Jonah. Come on. All right? Can't run from God. And it says here that they turned their back from following me. and has not performed my commandments. How many know that today, you know, when you preach on something, God always gives me a topic for some reason. I'm a more of a topical preacher, I would say. And he gives me a topic to preach on. I'm like, okay, and I chew on it. I got to go search for it. But today I'm preaching on obedience, right? Obedient, being obedient with your hands, with everything your hand touches. Being obedient with every step that you take, with where your feet walk. Being obedient with your mind, right? But how many know this morning I got tested? Hello, somebody. Yeah. I come in here, I got my son, right? And he's going crazy. I'm here. And I'm like, man, I got my son. I'm going to go right here. I'm going to go pray with him and all that. And then Pastor Felipe, he's like, hey, we got him and stuff. I'm like, no, it's okay. He said, hey, that's a command. I was like, amen. Here, take him. I'm going to go this way. Amen. I'll take him. Then I heard him crying. I was like, I had to go back out there. But hey, God tests you. God's going to test you. Amen. And right here it says, where am I at? Oh, and has not performed my commandments. I'm going to start over. I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned his back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieves Samuel. See, when we mess up, come on, somebody, because we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Hey, a pastor's not perfect. Hey, the leaders are not perfect. Nobody's perfect. The only one that's perfect is the one that died on the cross for us. He lived a perfect, blameless, sinless life. Right? And he died for us. But I know when I mess up, when I mess up, man, because I do. I mess up sometimes. Just being real. Hey, I mess up, Pastor. Hey, I dropped the ball. In other words, I dropped the ball, right? But I know sometimes that when we see guys leave, I know when I see guys leave the home, I mourn. Pastor wants to see these chairs filled up. Pastor wants to see every chair in here filled up. But when people leave and turn their ways, we mourn for them. We want them to do good. I want the guys to grow. I want to see guys change their lives, man. I say that with a whole heart. Because I know what God's done in my life. Amen. And we see here that it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. See, God is calling us today. Come on, there's people out there. Are you crying out for the people that are lost? Come on, man. We got to answer the call. We hit the streets. I go and I hit the streets, man. Take the guys and pass out flyers, whatever it may be, because there's people lost. There's people stuck with a needle in their arm right now. There's people stuck smoking the pipe. Just being real. There's people out there banging, shooting guns, right? But they're lost. And it's up to us. It's up to you and I. Somebody say you and I. You and I to go out and reach them. Verse 12. And I'm going to go all the way down just so you guys know. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, listen, how it was told Samuel. See, God told Samuel again, right? Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on a round pass by and gone down to Gilgal. See, not only did Saul not obey what God said or what Samuel told him that God said to do, what he said to do, but he went and set up a monument for himself like he did something. Come on, somebody. He set up a little party. Come on. He was like, yeah, I went and I killed a couple people. Come on, right? And he set up a monument for himself, knowing that he didn't even fulfill or complete the task that was put before him. In verse 13, it says, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. There he go lying. Come on, somebody. Some of us need to stop lying. I'm just saying. All right? Saul lied to Samuel. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? Come on, somebody. See, God says, get rid of everything. Get rid of everything. Obey my commands. And somebody, I'm done. I don't do nothing. Okay, well, what's this? What's this this smoke I smell? Come on, somebody. Hey, Just being real. What's this secret sin? There's some secret sin on the side that we need to get rid of today. Today is the day to let go. Today is the day to let God. But when Samuel said, "What then is the bleating of the sheep in my ear and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They." Come on. Mind you, this is Saul, and he's been anointed king over Israel. He has the authority, and he says, "They." Right? And remember earlier in the scriptures, it says Saul and the people. Right? "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best." And look, he says, "for the people." He's straight up lying, man, in his face. "For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet." Come on. In other words today, shut up. You lying. You're lying right now. You didn't do nothing. God told me everything. How many know that? Yeah, whatever is done in darkness will come to light. Whatever's at the bottom will float to the top. It doesn't matter. God's going to reveal it. And sometime God's going to pull your covers. He says, "Then Samuel said to Saul, 'Be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night.' And he said to him, 'Speak on.' So Samuel said, 'When you were little in your own eyes.'" Come on, sometimes. Hey, sometimes I think when I was little in my own eyes, when you were little in your own eyes, when you thought yourself a little, before I came to the home, I didn't have nothing. I thought myself little in my own eyes. I didn't think of myself. I didn't have nothing. I didn't have no money. I didn't have no girl. Come on, somebody. I didn't have nothing, right? But the Bible says right here that, so when Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission." Come on. See, the Lord wants to send some of you on a mission this morning. Soon, I'm pretty sure Pastor Charlie wants to send some churches out. I'm pretty sure Pastor Charlie wants to plant some churches. I know he wants to send some people on a mission to go reach the hurting, but he needs people he can trust, right? He says he sent you on a mission and said, "Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed." There you go, lying again. "I did obey. I did do what you said." Where's the director at? I did. I did the bathrooms. You know, come on, somebody. I did clean the bathroom. What are you talking about? Right? He says, and then he says, "Do evil in the sight of the Lord." And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on a mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of the Amalekite, of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people," come on, somebody. Sometimes we want to keep blaming other people for what we've done. My family keeps, they don't want me no more. It's their fault. That's why I went to Salinas, because it was their fault. No, it was my fault. We got to stop blaming people for what we've done. Hey, this guy was the king. He was the key. He was the one with the authority. He's the one that said, "Hey, I tell you to do this, you go that way." Right? But he's talking to Samuel now. He knows Samuel is talking to the King of Kings. Right? So he says, "Hey, I done what you said, but it was the people." Right? It was my people. "But the people took the plunder, the sheep, and the oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And verse 22. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great," come on, somebody, "has the Lord as great as he is, delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Today, church, today, right now, God is tugging at your heart. God is telling you to get rid of some things. See, I don't know what it is. You know, right? I know what I deal with. You know, I know what I give to God and I lay it down at his feet, right? But today, this morning, God wants you guys to lay it down. Lay it down at his feet and give it all up. A lot of times, we don't got our hands up like this, but we got our hands out like this. A lot of times God, we want this, but we don't want to be obedient to God. We don't want to be obedient to the pastor. Obedience, man, that's the first thing I learned when I came to the home. A brother, he was in second phase. I went knocking on his door. He was like, hey, man, just know. I didn't even know the word obedience meant. You know what I mean? What is that, you know? What I learned, obedience, man. It grows, man. It sharpens your character, man. You trust in God. You learn how to trust in God and give it all to God. It's putting your full trust, right? Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Man, that's powerful. That's powerful. And I'm going to speed it up because I got to go. I'm going to catch a plane right now in a little bit. Amen. Go back to Salinas. Amen. But amen. Verse 24 says, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people. Come on, man. How you going to fear the people, man? You're the leader. You're the one that's leading the people. You're the one that's in charge. God placed you in charge. God anointed you, right? When you got the anointing of God, man, you can move mountains. God opens up doors. He splits the sea. He makes a way through the wilderness, right? And he says, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we want to obey that other little voice. Right? That other little voice in your ear that say, come on, you can go real quick, sneak, come right back. Nobody would know, right? That little nagging little voice that's only gonna lead you to death. It's only gonna lead you to sin. But thank God that Jesus is faithful. Even when we do mess up, thank God he is faithful. In verse 25, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and tore it. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn you from the kingdom of Israel today and has given it to your neighbor. Come on, somebody. Who is better than you? In verse 29, it says, also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent. Come on, somebody. For he is not a man that he should relent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please. See, he knew that he didn't complete what he was supposed to do. He was disobedient, but he still want to get the praise. Come on, somebody. Hey, you want the light. See, I didn't ask to be up here. I'm just being obedient. This was not on my list at all. Come on, somebody. I didn't know what I was going to be, but I didn't think I was going to be this. All right? But I answered the call, and I'm obedient to it. Right? And right here we see that this guy saw he still wanted the light. He wanted it all for the wrong reasons. He wanted to shine. Come on, somebody. Right? And he says to still, you know, hey, let them know, act like I'm with you still. Come on, somebody. Right? Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me, that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag. I like this part right here, because this is where it's at right here. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. He's like, whoo, come on, somebody, right? I'm alive. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag into pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And I say that, and I think about that, because Samuel was a prophet. Come on, somebody. And today, the job still needs to be done. Saul didn't finish it, but the job still got done. Someone is going to do it. Someone is going to step up to the plate. But here this morning, who's going to step up to the plate and fulfill what God has called them to do? Samuel, hey, I was thinking about saying Samuel's a gangster. I'm just saying. I was thinking, hey, Samuel, it says it right here, man. It's not my words. It's right here in the Word. In the Bible, it says that he hacked them into pieces. Hey, he finished what needed to be done. Then Samuel went up to Ramah, and Saul went up to the house at Gibeah and Saul, and Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he ever made Saul king over Israel. Today, church, I've been walking with the Lord since 2016. I fell off. I came back to Milwaukee, and I went back 2017, and I never turned back. I never turned back. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep pushing, right? Why? Because he's faithful. He changed me. My son don't have to live the way I used to live. I broke generational curses. Hey, I broke the things the devil had a plan for my life too. But I come against it today. I want to be obedient to God. I want to please God. I'm not here to please man. I'm not a man pleaser. I'm here to please my God because he saved my life when I was lost. Now today I stand. Come on. Give the Lord some praise. And I want to tell you guys here this morning, as we all stand, can we stand this morning? I want to tell you guys this morning that whatever it is, I don't know what it is. You know what it is. Let go. Let it go. It's not worth to keep it. It's not worth to hold on to it. I know that when I let go and I let God, see, God can't give us nothing if we got our hands full. Come on, somebody. He's trying to give us something, but we got our hands full. He can't give us nothing if we still holding on to things. We got to let go and let God give us something. I'm blessed to be here, man. I'm in awe of what God can do. I just want to keep serving him, and I want to encourage you guys to continue. If you're here today, come back. Continue. Continue to seek God. Don't let nothing get in the way. I refuse. I didn't let my director get in the way. I didn't let my pastor get in the way. I didn't let no girl get in the way. The devil can't get in the way. Come on, right? The no demon can get in the way. Only I can get in the way of what God is doing in my life, if I allow it. But today, I want to be obedient to him. Right there where you're at, let's just lift your hands right now. As they sing a worship song, open up your heart. Ask God to reveal. Maybe you don't know what you need to let go of. Maybe you don't know what it is that you're holding on to. But right now where you're at, begin to ask God, reveal to me that I may lay it down, that I may give it up, God, that I would utterly destroy everything. Father God, I want a new life, God. I want something fresh for my family. I want something fresh for my children, whatever it may be. Lift up your hands and worship him right there. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, God. Oh, we glorify you, God. Oh, I pray for your people here today, God. Oh, let loose today, God. Oh, do something special, Father God. I pray, God, oh, for obedience, God, within our hearts, God, to obey you, Lord, to be obedient to your spirit, God. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, God, have your way. I pray, God, for your people, Jesus.
Let your anointing fall upon me.
In Galatians 2:20, it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so now I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Today, church, give it all to God. You know, it's not easy, but it's not hard either. It's what you make it. What you put in is what you get out, right? The Bible says you reap what you sow. So right there where you're at, if you feel today, you know what? I just want to give it all to God. I want to let go, Father God. I want to pursue you, Father God, and I want to be obedient to you. I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I come before you. Broken. I need you, God. And I ask you, Father, to come into my heart and to erase, God, everything that is not of you. And I ask you, Lord, to give me a new heart, an obedient heart, to obey your spirit, God. And I ask you, in Jesus' name, to refresh me, give me strength to continue this walk with you. And I'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, church. Give the Lord some praise this morning.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats here this beautiful Sunday morning. Brother Lalo told me that he was short-winded. I said, well, I'm long-winded. We'll make it happen. Amen. So he said he's good for 20 minutes. Well, you went about an hour, Brother Lalo. Amen. But it was good stuff. Amen. For all to be encouraged here this day. See, in the Lord, the Bible says obedience is greater than sacrifice. In other words, obedience precedes sacrifice. Amen. It comes first, but in the world, sacrifice precedes obedience. Amen. So we need to know that being obedient unto the ways of the Lord is very, very important. Brother Lalo, I thank you. For 5 years, you have grown tremendously. Amen. I look back in my life at 5 years. I wasn't where he's at. Amen. But God, who are we to question God? Amen. But if you stay the course, God is able to develop any man, any woman, amen, into that person that he wants them not only to be, but to use their life. Amen. So once again, I thank you, family members that know Brother Lalo that have come today. We thank you for being here. Amen. Be encouraged. Now Lalo's able to help you. You were always trying to help him. Now he's the helper. Amen. The counselor. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. I want to welcome, yesterday I did a funeral, amen, so we have some guests de Texas, todos de Texas, amen, those a lot of Texans in the funeral we did yesterday, and the wife of Ernest is here with us, hermana Tina está con nosotros, we love you, God bless you, gracias por venir, and condolences once again to you and your family and all the loved ones, amen, and yesterday was a busy day for me, and then on the other side, we had somebody getting freshly married, amen, amen. And that's Brother Paulino and Sister Sadis, amen. Got married yesterday, amen. And who else? And my spiritual mother, she probably don't want me to, but my beautiful spiritual mother is with us here this day from Salinas, California. Amen. Once again, I thank everyone for being here this day, a part of what God is doing. So those from Milwaukee, if Brother Lalo could do it, you can do it. Amen. I always tell everybody, Milwaukee's my promised land. For many, it's your Egypt. But it's my promised land, amen, from being obedient as we stand on this beautiful day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to take 1 minute right now, just 1 minute. If you need the Lord in your life, amen, I think it's important right now. Some were probably encouraged through the message, and I want to be able to give the opportunity, amen, of salvation here this day. Just as Brother Lalo received it there at Grandma's house on a table there. But the work had to be done in Salinas. So those viewing through Facebook and those that are here and things are not going right within your life and you would want some change, this is your opportunity, amen? Your opportunity to receive the Lord as Lord and Savior of your life. Just repeat after me. Just say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died for all of my sins. I believe that you rose again on the third day. And if you were able to do it for Lalo, you're able to do it for me. Enter my heart as Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. If you repeated that prayer, I want to let you know that you are saved and that the Lord is with you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. And while you're still standing, I'm going to pray for, we're going to do a love offering right now for Brother Lalo for the work to continue in his life. So when he gets home, he can get with his beautiful wife and he can go take her out to eat and stuff. Amen. If Pastor Henry lets him, amen, because he says he's got to be obedient, amen. But if you're going to write a check, just write out to Victory Outreach, amen. If you need to use the credit card machine, it's in the rear of the building. If you want to do Cash App, just make sure on where it says there, just say Brother Lalo, amen. And if you want to give by cash, as we pray here this day. Father, we thank you. We love you. We ask that you continue the work that you have started, the good work within Lalo's life, Lord. That you continue to raise him up, Lord Father God, because he wasn't meant to be in Milwaukee. He wasn't meant to be in Salinas, California. He's meant to take a city with his wife and children, Lord, to a place that you have already picked, Lord. And as long as he remains obedient, Lord, he will be there just as sure as he was behind this pulpit. he will find himself in that city, Lord. We ask that you bless the love offering this day, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Amen. And you may make your way forward, amen, if you want to give something to Brother Lalo. If anybody wants to speak to myself or my wife, we're here for you. Amen. What else? Brother Lalo, if you want to say hi to him, you're going to have to talk fast, move fast. Amen. Because he's got to go catch a plane. Amen. He's got to go catch a plane. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You all may consider yourself dismissed. Leadership, we have a matrix that we got to put together for the regional service within the next 30 minutes, give or take. Within the next 30 minutes, we got a big leadership meeting putting the matrix together for the regional that's right around the corner.